Good evening, everybody. God bless saints, those that have joined us this evening. God bless you. Welcome to the Bible study. We've connected up on YouTube, so welcome anybody joining on YouTube as well. Tuesday night has come again. Time for us to get in the Word. I think as you see, as is our custom, by the grace of God, we try to dig a little bit deeper. And starting from this evening, we'll start getting a little bit more into the message. So I'll explain that and show, especially to new people, to people that are young in the faith, try to show you where you can get some good background to help you to grasp some of the things we will be digging into today. So what we're trying to look at this evening, we're continuing on our adoption principles. This is the third part. And we'd like to look at perfect and permissive will and bring it into some practical things. So we'll be getting into the ministry of the prophet and having a look at how these things, these lessons that to be effective in your calling, to really come to adoption, which is what you're looking at here. There's certain things which maybe don't come naturally to us, but they're very important things that the Lord needs to teach us. And he takes a lot of time and a lot of, you know, it really is one of the important functions of the Holy Ghost in our life to teach us some of these principles. So may the Lord help us just to examine this evening and to move things a little bit along. Let us pray before we start. Father, thank you that you've given us another Tuesday. Thank you that you've allowed us to come together once again. And our great desire is that, Lord, you'd help us to redeem this time, that it may not be a wasted time for anybody, Lord. But as we get into things, Father, break them down to our souls that we may, Father, walk with you and better know you and better understand your ways. That is our desire. Bless all that are joining this evening on Zoom. Bless all that are joining us on YouTube. Anybody that will watch this down the way, we pray your blessing upon them as well. As we read your word, as we meditate on these things, Lord, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's our thought this evening, is adoption principles, part three, perfect and permissive will. You're going to need slides, Manji, if you're on your phone. So we're looking this evening at permissive will, first of all. So whenever you think of permissive will, God's will, now the scripture which we could read, I think we have it down the way, is when Paul speaks about, we've read it the last few weeks, the mystery of his will, having made known unto us the mystery of his will in Ephesians. You know, so God's will for our lives, God's purpose is a mystery. And a mystery is something that needs to be unfolded and revealed. And the Lord doesn't normally just unveil the entire mystery of your life overnight. It's something that as you walk with him, he takes you deeper. He reveals more of his purpose, more of his desire. He takes you deeper into the mystery of your own life. And that's the mystery of his will. But when we're speaking about the will of God, now we'll see there's different places you can be in the will of God. There's his perfect will, but there's also his permissive will. Or you might be totally out of the will of God. So, you know, when you're speaking of the will of God, there's certain things which would be good for us to understand. Because if we wanted to come to adoption, we wanted to walk deeper with the Lord, we wanted to be entrusted with more of his kingdom, the expression of his kingdom in our lives, obviously we need to be walking more and more consistently in his will. That's really what he's looking for us to do. Because that's the way we come to the fullness of our inheritance, is by walking in his will. And I'm sure you're the same as me, that you desire to know his will and to be quickened and equipped by him to walk more perfectly in his will in this year. So to look at this, understanding God's perfect will and his permissive will, it's good to take the scripture from the book of Numbers. And we're going to be looking at Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. He was anointed. He was gifted. Several chapters of the Bible are Balaam's prophecy. So he wasn't a lightweight sort of a person. But as we'll see, you know, Balaam wasn't somebody that walked perfectly in the will of God. So the scripture is Numbers 22, verse 12. So Balak, the king of Moab, he sent his messengers to Balaam and said, please, there's these people coming out of Egypt. They've come through the wilderness. This is a mighty people. They're coming into my land. They're near my land. Come and curse them that I might defeat them. So he sends to Balaam the prophet and says, I want you to curse these people. So Balaam, he goes to pray to the Lord and he says, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Should I go with this man? Should I go and curse these people? And the Lord said to him in verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So the Lord spoke in no uncertain terms to Balaam and told him exactly what his will was, what God had in his heart. He says, thou shalt not go with them. That's the perfect will of God. Whenever God speaks to us, and whenever you seek his face, you seek his will, and he speaks to you in whatever way he's going to speak to you, through his word, through his people, through whatever, then God is very faithful. If you seek his will, if you desire to know his will and to do his will, he will reveal his will to you. Yeah, that's not the problem. The problem isn't God revealing his will to us. The problem is us walking in his will, because that's where the problem comes in with Balaam. Because Satan's going to do everything he can to move you or to keep you from walking in the perfect will of God. Because when you're walking in the will of God, all of heaven is behind you. Now, all of heaven's going to back you up. You're going to be walking with Christ. You're going to have fellowship with his people. You're going to be a threat to the kingdom of God. God's blessing, his authority, his power is going to be magnified inside of your life. That's why Satan fears somebody working in the perfect will of God. And he's going to do everything he can to look at you, to look at your temperament, your weaknesses, the people around you, and he's going to try to do everything that he can, though you know the will of God, to move you out of that will of God. And that's what he did to Balaam. So Balaam says to these guys, I can't curse them. God said, no, you better go. The guys go back to King Balak, and in verse 15, Balak said, no, I need this man to curse them. It says, and Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. So he sends the big guys. He sends his senators. He sends his big shots. He sends them now to Balaam. More guys with bigger robes, bigger crowns, bigger whatever they have. And verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor. You know, he's the king. Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Okay, so now we get in a bit of a dilemma, because which one is Balaam going to listen to? Is he going to listen to thus saith Balak? Or is he going to listen to thus saith the Lord? Because those are the two voices that he's hearing here. Yeah, and it's a real test of his character. It's a real test of his nature to stay faithful to the Lord. Because this is a temptation now. He's being tempted. We know the three temptations of man, the pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. He has the lusts of the eyes. You know, the things that, like you say, in this age, the bling. You know, here the Lord's offer, the king of this world offers us the kingdoms of this world, like he did to Jesus. If you just don't walk in the perfect will of God, doesn't mean you can't be religious, doesn't mean you can't have an anointing, doesn't mean you can't still be a prophet, Balaam. But I don't want you walking in that perfect will of God, because you know you're a threat to my kingdom when you do that. So he anoints Balak. Balak sends now to Balaam, I'll give you great fortune, give you great honor, anything that you want. Now, this shows the weakness inside of the character of Balaam. He was anointed, he was a prophet, but he didn't have the new birth. Because straight away when he starts hearing now about promotion to great honor, and great riches, something moves inside of Balaam. And he says, wow, if only God hadn't have told me not to go. You know, that's where the problem's coming in. Now there's a wrestling match. Now there's the will of God for him not to go, but there's the will of Balaam for him to go. Balaam wants to go. He wants these riches. He wants this honor. He wants to be a big shot in this world. And Satan knew exactly what bait to give him, exactly how to poke him, to bring him out from the center of God's will. And it shows how much we need the real, true new birth inside of our lives if we're going to want to come to adoption, because gifts and anointings and ministries and offices and all of these things are wonderful. Yeah, but we can have all of those things, Paul said, and not have the real thing, and not have charity. We can know all mysteries. We can have faith to move mountains. We can do tremendous things. God can anoint us to do tremendous things, yet our hearts not be right with God. And that's the situation you find with Balaam. His heart wasn't right with God. He didn't desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. He had a gift, he had an anointing, and this was great because it got him honor, it got him recognition. And when the push came to the shove now, and he was tempted now, what does he do? So he says to them, to these princes and that have come to give him this great offer, he says, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Friends, this is where we get into trouble, because God speaks to you, and you're not quite satisfied with what he said, because what he desires doesn't match your desire. What his will is doesn't match your will. So instead of just humbling yourself, overcoming yourself, saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done, what do? We go and seek for a second opinion now. You know, we go and try to find out, what is the Lord going to say to me more? Now, friends, when God speaks once, it's more than enough. That should be sufficient for any born-again child of God. When God shows you his will, that it should be our absolute. But we have a weaknesses as well. We have our human nature. We are surrounded by temptation and stuff like that. And Satan plays upon that. Why would you want to go back to the Lord a second time and say, Lord, what do you think this time? God never changes his mind about his word. It's obvious. In order to go back and see what the Lord's going to say more to you, it shows you're not happy with what he told you the first time. Because his will never lined up with your will. Now, this is a very common thing, saints. You know, you find the word will come and tell somebody something, or you give counsel to somebody from the word, you show them from the word, show them from the message, but it doesn't suit them. It doesn't match. It's not quite the advice that I want. So what do? They go to somebody else and ask the same advice. You in Balaam's shoes, you're doing exactly the same as Balaam. And if the word is clear, if it's backed up by the message of the hour, that should be an absolute. That should be the end of strife. But if inside of your heart that you so much desire your will to be done, now you're going to get yourself in trouble because you're now heading into the permissive will. So Balaam's heart wasn't right. Listen to what Brother Ram says in the Church Age book. He says, the perfect will of God gave way to the permissive will of God because of the heart desire of Balaam. You know, so Balaam's heart desire, he went to ask the Lord. He says, Lord, is it okay if I can go with them? Who are these men have come again? And the Lord looked down at Balaam and he said, I see the wickedness of your heart. You don't want to walk in my ways. And the Lord tells him, go. So God now gives him a different answer. Verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Yeah, so people look at this and say, but hey, how can God change his mind like that? How can God tell him three verses before, don't go? And now he's telling him to go because you've pushed God through your heart's desire. You've pushed God to answer you with his permissive will. So God's now giving up. He says, okay, go. I'll permit you to go. But that's not my will for you to go. So he says, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word that I will say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now Balaam's happy. Now he's got his will done. It's like somebody wants to get married and they get counsel, they check it in the word. The person they're wanting to marry has been married before, whatever, there's complications, but they so much want to marry that person. They see the perfect will of God in the word. They see it clearly that this is not what God wants. So what will they do? They'll push and push and try to find some way. And then they'll find something over here or something over there or some person to agree with him somewhere so they can fulfill their heart's desire. That is dangerous for the life of a believer. That's not where you want to get. And look what it says now in verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. You see, so although he said go, but God was angry with him. Just, okay, go. You're forcing me. Go. But God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against. So God became his enemy. God actually, the angel of the Lord withstood him. And we know the story and how the donkey rebuked him and stuff like that. You know, so you can see this is a very instructive story. If you want to listen to it in the message, listen to the message Does God change his mind about his word? Now, this is where the prophet takes this. God never changes his mind. It may look like he changed his mind. When Hezekiah, when the Lord sent his perfect will and said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you will die and not live. That was God's perfect will. Then when Hezekiah turned his face and prayed and said, oh Lord, please have mercy, feel sorry for me, I've been a good man, give me 15 more years. The Lord's okay, have 15 years. That wasn't his perfect will, because God doesn't change his mind. And like we've said, and it says in the message, in those 15 years, he went and messed up all the good work that he had done before. It was better he should have just done what the Lord told him to do, because the first command of the Lord is always perfect. And that was, set your house in order, for you will die and not live. But we can go to the Lord and we can squeeze the Lord and give all these reasons because of our heart's desire. So the Lord's okay, go. So it's up to you. But it doesn't please the Lord when we do that. So in that message, does God change his mind? Brother Ram says, so we really believe that God never changes his mind about what he said. He always keeps it true. He never changes his mind. But he has a permissive will. Now, there's where the trouble is. Now, this is where we get into trouble in our lives, as we'll see in the ministry of the prophet. We try to work on God's permissive will. We say, okay, Lord, if you'll allow me to do it, you know, I know this job, it's going to stop me going to church, but Lord, I'm going to get a lot of money from this job. And you know the word saying, but don't forsake us assembling of one another together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. And instead you'll be saying, oh, but yeah, I know what the word says, but I've had people say that to me. You know, you give them the straight advice from the word and they get grieved with you because their desire was to do something else. Yeah, well, we can't do anything else, friends, but say what the Lord said. That's all we can say. So he says, we try to work on God's permissive will, and he will permit it. But if we take his permissive will, though it's not right, he will make his permissive will to work out together to glorify his perfect will. So we need to understand what he's saying. Then God, when a believer, one of the children of God, when you get into the permissive will of God, God is going to make that work back to his glory. God will bring it back into his will, but many times there's a price to be paid. You've gone the hard way. Instead of going by the way of revelation, now you go by the way of the permissive will, there's going to be suffering. You're going to learn obedience through suffering now. It's going to be painful. But if you're a child of God, you're still going to end up back in the same place that you could have been the easy way, but now you've gone the hard way. Like we give the example of Jonah. God said, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, cry out against them. That was God's perfect will, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no problem. Me, I'm heading to Tarshish. I'm not going to Nineveh. He gets into the ship, and now he goes the hard way. And he's thrown out of the ship, and he's in the belly of the fish, and now he's descending to the depths of hell, seaweed around his neck, and all that he says. It was scary. It was frightening. It wasn't a nice experience. It was a type of Christ in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Jesus said, as a greater than Jonah is here. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the grave. You know, so that was not a pleasant experience that he went through. And then finally, the big fish vomits him out on the beach. And God's voice comes back again. Jonah, go for me to Nineveh and cry out what I'll tell you to say. And now he's, okay, Lord, I'll go. So he still ends up going into where God wants him to go, but he's gone the hard way, but God has used all of the excess journey to work out things according to his glory. God can still be glorified in it, but there's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering in his children, because God can never fully bless you in the permissive will. He can only bless you in measure, and there's going to be a price to be paid. But in his perfect will, it's the place of unreserved blessing. God can pour his blessing upon you freely. If you in his perfect will. So let's look at a few things to make this clear. So his revealed will. God's perfect will is his revealed. You wanted to know, okay, I don't know what God's perfect will is. Okay, what has God spoken to you personally as an individual? No matter how young you are as a believer, young you are in age, how long you've been in the Christian, long you've been in the message. What has God spoken personally to you? That's what God's worried about in your life. God isn't interested in all the things that are not relevant to you at this time, but the Lord has maybe been speaking to you about baptism, or has been speaking to you about repentance, or speaking to you about separation from unbelief or something like that. God be saints. So, Chachi, if you want to put for the saints there to have a look here. So God is not really worried about the things which don't concern you, but what he's looking to you and I is, what do we do with what is revealed to us? So when he reveals his will to you, when he says, please, I don't want you to take that job because it's going to affect your spiritual life. Or I don't want you to move to that place because you're going to be taking people away from fellowship and it's going to affect your children or whatever. Or I don't want you to take this course at college because it's going to destroy your spiritual life because it's going to be too intense for you, whatever. Now, whatever you found in your prayer room, in your morning watch, at Sunday school, in the service, in listening to the messages, in fellowshipping with the saints, in your time of meditation, whatever that it is, that the Lord has impressed upon your heart, made real to you, that you see, but Lord, I can see what it is you want me to do. That is his revealed will. So when God reveals his will to you, that's his perfect will. His first revelation when it comes to you, it says, no, don't go, Balaam. That's his perfect will. And like I put on the side there, so his revealed will or his perfect will is the place of power. This is where you get the fullness of the divine blessing inside of your life. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. He doesn't withhold anything, the Bible says, from those whose heart is perfect towards him. If your heart is set to say, I want to do the will of God, you may fall short of the will of God because of the weakness of your flesh. You may fall short like we all do, make your mistakes, not be able to do what you want to do. But God doesn't judge you by your mistakes. He judges you by your desire. He sees the desire that you desired to get up this morning early in the morning. But you know, just you last night, you were a little bit too long on Instagram and you slept at one again, despite your resolution on Sunday, you weren't going to do that again. But you wanted to, because, okay, he'll try to help you on that one there. So, you know, God sees your heart's desire and God will bless you and he'll hold nothing back from you when you're in his perfect will. When your heart, when your desire matches his desire, when your will delights in his will, when you love what it is that the Lord loves, God will hold nothing back from you inside of your life. God can trust you with riches and honor. God can trust you with anointing and power. God can trust you with great influence over people because he can trust you now. Now, he can trust you because, like David, he was a man after God's own heart. He made his mistakes, but David's heart was right. He always wanted his heart to be in tune with the Lord. So that's being in his revealed will. It's the place of real, real blessing, divine blessing inside of your life. We could also call his revealed will walking in the vision. We started on Sunday looking at walking in the vision. Next week, Bible study, by the grace of God, it's going to be walking in the vision again. But all Bible, with Bible terms, walking in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, yeah, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship one with another. So now you're walking in the vision, you're walking in the light. Whatever light God has shone upon your path, whatever's the next step that he's urging you to do, go and make right with this person, go and say sorry, go and make right with your wife, or whatever that it is, that's God's revealed will for you. He speaks to you. And if you walk in that, he'll shine more light. He'll bless you. He'll fellowship with you. Now have deeper fellowship with the people of the vision, the rest of the people that are you supposed to walk with. Because he said, when you walk in the light, that's when we have real fellowship one with another. You know, now you can grow as a believer. You can go forward. You're heading deeper and deeper into your new ministry, deeper and deeper, closer and closer to your position, the full adoption of your placing in Christ. That's wonderful. If you can stay in his revealed will, that's the road to adoption, obviously. But it's not as easy as that, as we know. Because we always say the world, the flesh, the devil, there's all these things around us. Satan, like with Balaam, is going to do everything he can to move you out of that place. He's going to poke you. He's going to entice you. He's going to come like with Jesus, try to get you out of the will of God. Turn the stones to bread. I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. Throw yourself off the temple, be a show off, You know, whatever you can, try to find something you're going to respond to that's going to bring you out of his perfect will. So, his perfect will is when you can honestly say from your heart, not my will, but thy will be done. That's how Jesus, his entire life, death, everything was always in the perfect will of God, because he was able to overcome himself. And he could always say, not my will, but thine be done. He would always say, I always do that which pleases my Father. Now, we wish we could all say that. But we're not Jesus. We're not virgin born. You know, we're not, there's things we need to learn. There's going to be suffering we're going to have to go through to teach us some of these principles. Because unfortunately, you like me, sometimes we have a hard head and we know better than the Lord. We know better than his word. We know better than his people. We all like that. Everybody else were telling you, don't marry this person. Don't get in court. That's not the right person. Everybody else in the whole economy of God, but you'll be 100% convinced everybody's wrong except for me. That's just us as human beings. And the Lord says, okay, you're going to have to learn the hard way because you need to learn this lesson. And that's where now we can start heading into the permissive will of God. And Satan wants to bring us out of that place of the perfect will of God. And the permissive will of God is when you're now saying, not thy will, but my will be done. That's what Balaam was saying. He was now came to the point saying, I don't want to do this will of God. I want to go with these guys. I want those riches. I want the honor. Hey, I want all these things this man's offering me. So Balaam is in himself, he said, I don't want God's will to be done. I want my will to be done. And God looked down and said, okay, if that's what's in your heart, go. And he let him, he permitted him. That's why it's called a permissive will. God is not going to go and put bars and gates and walls around you to stop you going out of his will. No, this is the greatest desire he has is for you to choose the right path because you have chosen the narrow way, because you've chosen my way. It's when you choose it from your heart, that's when the blessing comes. God doesn't want to force us. We're not robots. So he'll try to entice us. He'll try to encourage us. But in the end, if you want to head out of the will of God, the Lord's going to warn you. And then you find yourself now you're walking in the permissive will of God. Now, this is even the color I use. It's gray. Because the permissive will of God is the gray area. It's not black and it's not white. Yeah, and you always know you're getting into the permissive will of God through two things. Number one, you find it difficult to really ask the Lord about that thing with confidence. Yeah, you'd prefer not to pray about it. You'd prefer to go and read and study and all this, but you don't really want to go and speak to the Lord about what you're thinking to do. Because you can't have confidence because you're not asking according to his will. So you just have an uneasiness inside of yourself to say, okay, that's okay. I'm sure it'll be okay. Yeah. So that's the first thing. You can't speak to him about it. And the second thing is, and it's a big one, you can't fellowship with the family of God about it either. You know, you just feel uncomfortable. Say, I don't really want to tell this to the saints, you know, to the people that are around you. You don't really want them to know the decision you're making because there's a little buzzer inside it which is telling you, and you know, if I speak to the saints, they're going to tell me I shouldn't do this. You know, and those two are two warnings which you should always have. Can you pray to the Lord concerning that thing which you think you do with liberty? Can you really come into his presence and pray before the mercy seat with a liberty and the Lord respond back to your prayer? Or is there an uneasiness inside of you? We don't have a liberty in prayer. And secondly, are you able to go and sit down with your tried and trusted friends, your mentors, those that have discipled you, those that watch over your soul, the people of the vision that God has put you to associate with, those that, you know, they watch for your soul. Like the Bible says, are you able to go and sit down with them confidently and say, look, I'm really thinking to do this. I really believe this is the will of God. You find you can't. You can't. I've seen it so many times, friends. That's when you find out that, oh, brother so-and-so has decided to do this, or sister so-and-so has decided, and you hear it like third-hand information. Mm-hmm. No one can ever come and sit with you and tell you to say, yeah, I'm really thinking about doing this. No, they'd rather go and do it, and they find somebody else maybe is not really in the spirit. You're looking for someone to agree with you. Mm-hmm. You're wanting someone to back up your will. Yeah, now you're getting onto really, really dangerous territory now. Yeah, you know that if you go to the Urim and Thummim with this, there's going to be no clear flashing of the divine light in the Urim and Thummim. You know, so you don't go to the Urim and Thummim. You just make your plan, you do things secretly, and you let things go far, and then you tell the children of God. Then you tell them, yeah, Saints, you know, me, I'm going to go and work in Alaska. I've got a real, real good job there, you know? Well, Saints, me, I'm going to go there. I've got a really good job. The Lord really opened up a door for me. It was unexpected. It must have been the will of God. And God is sending me to Mongolia. And you 5,000 miles from fellowship. Not even allowed a Bible in the country. But you've persuaded yourself it's the will of God because it's big money. You're walking in Balaam's shoes. You're doing exactly the same thing that Balaam did. Because it's your will, because it's your heart's desire, you're going to find any extenuating circumstances. You're going to search the Bible, your concordance, to find some verse to back you up. You're going to search the Message to find some quote you can misquote or take out of context to back you up in your decision. And the Lord looks down and he says, I see the game you're playing. Okay, if you want to do that, go and do it, like you said to Balaam. Now, in the permissive will, he'll bless it in measure, like he did, but you're going to pay for it. There's always a painful price in the permissive will. When Adam now took the sin of Eve upon himself, he put us all into a permissive will. Because God's perfect will was never that man should be born through sex. Man should never be born through woman the way that we're born. That's how man born of woman is full of sin and few of days, whatever the scripture says. That was never God's perfect will. God's perfect will in the beginning was the way that he spoke and Adam came. And yeah, God from the beginning showed his perfect will. We are living in a permissive will. Yeah. We're living it. That's why we die. That's why we get sick. That's why we suffer. Yet there's some blessing, and God makes the permissible all work back to his glory. He says, okay, they're going to fall. They're going to go into my permissible, but at least I'll glorify myself. I'll come and die for them. I'll come and show my redemptive attributes to them. So, you know, we're living in a world. This isn't the perfect will of God. I mean, if this was the perfect will of God, Christ would be on the throne. The lion was laid down with the lamb. We wouldn't have death. We wouldn't have Joe Biden on the throne in America and some of these guys, the guy in the island there. Yikes. You tell me this is the perfect will of God that we're living under. Never. No, this world has fallen because somebody made a choice after their heart's desire. Yeah, we fell now with Adam and we've been living in this realm since then. So this, you'll pay for it. Look what it says in Psalm 106, verse 13. God gave them manna in the wilderness. That was his perfect will. It was perfect food. It was angel's food. But the people after a while said, we don't want this manna. We're tired. We want meat. We want the flesh pots of Egypt. That was their heart's desire. It says in Psalm 106, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. So now they're feeling hungry. They don't wait for the Lord to come and really meet their needs. They start telling God what he should do. No, you need to give us meat. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you meat. And he sent all these quails and they ate the quails. It says in verse 14, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and they tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Can you see what happens? You will so much desire that job. God says, okay. He'll tell you, no, no, no. Then you push him, push him, push him. He says, okay, I'm not going to be able to change you that way. Okay, go have the job. You get the job and everything seems good and you dry in your soul. There's no vision in your spiritual experience anymore. You make no progress. Instead, you're going backwards. God never leads his people backwards. With God, it's speak and go forward. God always takes his people forward. You see exactly the principle of this. You so much desire it yourself. And you can convince yourself that it's the will of God. But to show that it's not the will of God, there's leanness in your soul. You start dry in your prayer. The Bible becomes thin like a pamphlet. You can't find anything to read in the Bible that speaks to you. And you get out of fellowship. Your prayer life gets nowhere. Wow. You lose the vision. You become like John in prison. Your eagle eyes get filmed over. What is that? God is teaching you a lesson. God is teaching you obedience through the things that you suffer. It didn't have to be like that. But this is what happens in the permissible. Now, God will still make it work for his glory. He'll teach you a big lesson. He'll give you a serious chastening. He'll purge you from that weakness through the things you go through. Then he brings you back in track after a while, but you've suffered like Samson. It didn't have to go like that for Samson. Yeah, he decided, no, okay, I want to go and chase after these girls of the world. God was still glorified in the end in it, but there was a lot of suffering, a lot of unnecessary suffering that they had to go through, Samson and his people, because of his heart's desire. God used it for his glory. God used the permissive will in the life of Samson, but it was never his perfect will. God can never tell Samson to marry a Philistine when it's against his will that is revealed in his word. God said, okay, he's intent on doing it, so I'm going to use it for my will. I'm going to use this as an occasion. But that was never the perfect will of God. God's word is his perfect will, what he reveals in his word. So they had leanness inside of their souls. Now, if you're not careful, you keep bouncing further out of his will. Permissive will, now you come to out of his will. Now, that's not where you want to be as a believer. And let me say one thing. If you're a real child of God, it's very difficult to get out of the will of God. You'll say that, what are you meaning? I'm telling you the truth. As a child of God, go and ask Jonah. Isn't easy to get out of the will of God? God will make all things work together for your good. God will say, it's okay. You think you're smart. You think you're going to Spain, to Tarshish. You're not going to Spain. You're going to Nineveh. You're trying to get out of the will of God. You try to make your own way as a believer. You'll suffer. You'll go through a hard time. And then you end up just finding yourself back in the will of God again. And you've got some scars and you've got some hardship. And yeah, maybe you've got your hair's been singed. Maybe you've lost some years. You've lost some money. Yeah. And you're saying, hey, I don't think this is a really wise idea. But you find yourself back where God wants you to be. Because you're a child of God and God has predestinated you to the adoption of sons. He knows how to get you there. You know, you might be like Moses. You say, I've had enough. I don't want to preach this message anymore. The brethren don't appreciate it. I did my best for them. I killed an Egyptian. And you head out in the wilderness. You turn your back on the people. I'm going to get married, start my business with Jethro. You have all your sheep in the backside. Your business is doing well. But you have leanness inside of your soul. And you say, it's okay. I'm forgetting about that. But God didn't forget. God didn't forget the purpose that he called Moses for. And in due season, he brought Moses back into his perfect will. Yes, I'm saying it's not easy for a child of God to get out of the way. You've got to be very stubborn. You've got to force your way. But I don't think a child of God who's got a born-again heart is going to want to push too hard against the will of God, because God's will is good and it's perfect. You don't want to be doing that. And God knows how to turn things around. He really, really knows how to do those kind of things. So that's why the prophet says he will make his permissive will to work out together to glorify his perfect will. It's okay, you guys want to head off down there. Yeah, you want to eat of the tree of the knowledge. That's okay. Go into that place. But I'm going to be glorified still. I'm going to come as a man. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to redeem you from that situation. God turns the permissive will around, uses the permissive will, and he is glorified now by bringing it back into his perfect will at the end. So in the end, we're going to be back in Eden in the millennium. Yeah, there's going to be no death. The lion's going to lie down to the lamb. The earth's going to be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. No more death. Yeah, God's going to bring everything back to his perfect will. And God has been glorified and he's revealed himself to us through the days of our suffering and the days of our flesh. So, you know, God knows how to redeem things. He knows how to bring things back. So God's not scared of the permissive will. And he knows, unfortunately, many of us, the only time we learn is by having a little bit of time in the permissive will. That's when we learn the lesson. They say, when there's no pain, there's no learning. That's what a teacher once told me. When there's no pain, there's no learning. Doesn't matter how many times you give the perfect will to your child. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch it. It's hot. What are they going to do? They're going to touch it. Just because you told them not to touch it. And they're going to learn the hard way that, yay, I'm not going to do that again. And that's what the Lord allows us many times, to go into the permissive will. But he works it around and he brings it into the perfect will. And as we look at our callings, God is going to teach us obedience by these things.
Mm.
And he's going to teach us by the things we go through to learn more, how to walk more and more consistently in the channel of his perfect will, because that's what he wants for us. Because that's when you can really come into your new ministry, adoption, you know, your position, the fullness of your position in Christ, is when you can more consistently stay in that channel. It's not easy for Satan to tempt you out this way, knock you out that way. Then you have to find your way back into his perfect will for a season, and then boom, off you go into his permissive will again. No. But when you got that, like Jesus, no matter how tempted, no matter what goes on, he's going to grit his teeth. He's going to say, I'm staying in the perfect will. I could call to my father. He would send 12 legions of angels. I could change the situation, but that's not my father's will. How will the scriptures then be fulfilled? Yeah, so you can really see that this adoption principle of permissible perfect will is a very important one. Because if you can't walk consistently in his perfect will, how is he going to put his word in your mouth, the spoken word? If he can't trust you with that secretary at work, if he can't trust you with a little bit of money, which you struggle to pay your tithes, you struggle to pay, and you say, Lord, I want this big job, which has got a big salary. And the Lord saying, look, you're not even able to be faithful to me with this job that you've got. You know, what kind of magic wand do you want me to wave? And suddenly when I give you the bigger temptation, you're going to be faithful with, when you're not even being faithful in this little temptation. You know, so it's a very important principle, this. And I'm glad I'm not in church, because in church, people wouldn't be saying amen now. So it would be good. At least I don't have to worry about people not saying amen. I should have got my app on the phone to say amen tonight. It would have been good. Yes, good. Some people are saying amen here. May the Lord bless them. But it's all of us, friends. We learn by going through the permissive will. That's the sad thing about it. And the lessons learned in the permissive will are vital for us to reach adoption.
Mm.
You know, the things we learn, we'll see it in the prophet's ministry. There's fundamental, foundational principles that the Lord allows us. It's okay, you're my child, you need to go through this because you're given to people too much, or you're given to people's opinions, or you're too sensitive to the feelings of people, whatever. Our temperament of things is not always God's temperament of things. So sometimes he allows us to go through these experiences to purge us of a weakness, or to develop in us through the things we go through, the things that are prerequisites so that he can trust us with more next time. And that's a real vital, vital lesson. So Brother Ram picks it up again from the Church Age book about Balaam. He says, God actually said, go ahead. Did God change his mind? No, sir. God had his way regardless of Balaam going. So when Balaam now went, and the king took him up on the mountain and said, okay, don't look at Israel's good points. Let me go and show you their back parts, their bad points. Took him up and he looked at the back parts of Israel. The moment Balaam made his altars and he prayed and he wanted to curse Israel, the Lord put a blessing in his mouth. And he blessed Israel. And it's scripture. He spoke of the coming of Christ. A star shall rise out of Jacob. So God had his way regardless of what Balaam did. Balaam did not annul the will of God. So you and I, being in the permissive will, it never changes God's will for our lives. Never changes his desires. And because he loves you, he knows how to get you back into his perfect will once again. It was Balaam who was the loser. Why? For he bypassed the word. No believer will ever gain by bypassing the word. You can't. Every single time you and I bypass the word, we come out the loser. We come out like Samson with no eyes, in a prison house, praying for his glory to come back. It never works out well. But we think it will. Think it's okay. Doesn't matter where I live. Doesn't matter where I fellowship. Doesn't matter who my friends are. Doesn't matter what job I get. Doesn't matter where I fellowship, you know, who I marry. Every one of these things, God has predestined them unto us. There's his perfect will concerning these things in our life. We should never move outside of that. And if God loves you, When you start straying out into that realm, he's going to give you a good whipping, and it's for our own good. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, he says. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The reason he's whipping you and your things are failing and your soul is lean, because he loves you, a child of God. He's never going to prosper you outside of his will. That's not your inheritance. He's only going to prosper you in the promised land. And he's going to bring you back. Now listen to what he says. And today, we have that very same thing. Look what he says. He says, Balaam bypassed the word. And today, we have the very same thing. Now listen to how he puts it. You know, Dan, friends, this applies so much to Laodicea. Woman preachers. There's the woman preachers, big ones of this day. Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, you're going to have a look, the big ones. Woman preachers, when God's word clearly says, I do not allow a woman to preach, nor to have authority over man. That's God's perfect will. But if your heart's desire is that you want to preach, you really feel you want to preach, you'll go and ask the Lord and say, please, Lord, I want to preach. Please, Lord, again, go and preach. Can you see the permissive will? And he'll anoint you, and there'll be blessing in a sense, and people will be healed, and people will be saved. And you'll be saying, you see, how can it not be the will of God? Look at the results. The results don't mean that it's the will of God. You've bypassed the word. God just gave you over like Balaam to your heart's desire. You desired it so much, so he allowed you to do it. The prophet says, woman preachers, organization, denominations, false doctrine. I would have said, look at people getting false doctrine. I have a big revival at first. And they look at us and say, you people are dead. You should have followed the revival. Yeah. We've seen it down through the years. Let's wait and see how long the fig leaves stay green outside of the perfect will of God. Yeah, when they Adam and Eve put the fig leaves, they were green. They were having a revival. That was religion, a covering. Just within a short space of time, the fig leaves start to wither, friends. And you start finding the enthusiasm goes down, and then there's leanness in your soul, and the people have no vision. No, stay in the perfect will of God. That's the best thing for a child of God. And he goes on to speak about that, doing the same thing as Balaam. He says, people worshiping, manifesting in the spirit, going right on as Balaam did, claiming that God has spoken to them, even when the commission they received is opposite to the revealed word. You're going to ask each of these woman preachers and so forth, and all these guys are getting into false doctrine. They'll say, God called me. God spoke to me. Yeah, God spoke to Balaam as well. That doesn't mean it's the perfect will of God. We've got to be careful about this. He says, and I will not deny that God spoke to them. But it was just like when he spoke to Balaam the second time. As he knew that Balaam wanted his own heart's desire above the word. And he gave it to him. Now that's where you separate the bride from the rest, because the bride is a word bride. Now you'll never be satisfied outside of the word. You just want his word. You just want his will to be done. That's what you want. Now what lesson do we learn from that? Don't press God. Don't force anything out of God. Abraham says, if you keep pressing God for something, he says, the Pentecostals, they did it. They told people, all of you must speak in tongues. He says, every person will press God. God, I want to speak in tongues. Okay, God, I never designed you for tongues. That's not the calling I'm calling you for. That's not the gifting. Your temperament doesn't match that. But because you're so much pressing me, I'll give you tongues, although that's not my perfect will for you. You see where it gets to. Paul says, do all speak in tongues? He says, no. He says, do all prophesy? He says, no. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. There's other gifts in the body. Every one of us, God has equipped us and prepared us and made us so that our temperament, our makeup, our upbringing prepares us for a certain gifting and calling in his body. And one of those is tongues. One is interpretation. But not everybody's made in that kind of a way. But if you so much want to speak in tongues and you keep pressing God, he'll allow you to speak in tongues. That wasn't his will. Or you want to minister. I know Brother Oliver had a good friend. He's now one of the biggest charismatic ministers in Africa. I know him. I met him and I spoke to him. Brother Oliver testified the message to him. He saw the ministry of Brother Branham, the healing and the miracles. And then he wanted to go deeper himself. This guy, he was just a nobody in those days. And then he went and watched Kenneth Hagin and the gift that Kenneth Hagin had. And he went and shut himself in a room, fasted for days and days, saying, Lord, I want the same gift that Kenneth Hagin has. And now he came out of that room with an anointing, came out of that room with a gifting, but it's an imperfect gift. But he's anointed and he's done a lot of things and he's rich and the governments, they love him and all that kind of stuff. But he is leading people into serious false doctrine if you go and see what he's teaching. But if you want something so badly and you shut yourself and you cry out to God, be careful, because God might give it to you. You want to marry that person so much. Yet they don't believe the same as you. If you keep pressing God, God will say, go. And you'll do it, but it'll be a permissive will. It'll bring leanness in your soul. God will never be able to bless it because that's not his perfect will for your life. We don't want to be making these kind of mistakes. Now, we'll start on this. We'll finish off on time today, but just get started now where we wanted to take this principle. We want to take us into lessons from the ministry of a prophet in our age, from the prophet himself. So here was a man, a prophet of God. And let's see as we trace through his life in the next few sessions, how God had to teach him, sometimes the hard way, these foundational principles. Though he was called, though he was elected, though he was anointed, though he had such reality and authority of God invested in his life, but before he could come to his adoption, he had to learn the same lessons as you and I as he went along. So to those people who don't know the ministry of Brother Branham, of William Branham, I put it on there. You can get the Supernatural series, a very good place to start. You young people, you new believers, you can get them on Amazon. You can buy the books on, you just search online for Supernatural, The Life of William Branham. There's six books. You can buy them either in two volumes. Part one, two, and three is volume one, four, five, and six in volume two. Or you can buy them individually, like the ones I've shown you on screen. You can also get the audio book on Audible, or you can get it online. Sister Kathy Strew, she read them, and Audible have now put it onto their thing. And you can actually get it so that when you're reading the book, you can listen along at the same time, like we do in the message. It's very nice. I have it on my phone. But if you take the book three, to you young people, maybe you don't have anything to read or you don't know which way to go concerning this and you want to go a bit deeper, I put the chapters down there from book three that if you'd go and read these chapters, it'll help you to understand as we start getting into the ministry of Brother Branham, give you the background. So we're not going to be speaking just new things, new concepts. You don't understand what we're speaking. If you read those chapters, 33, 37, 38, 40, 47, 48, 50, 50, they're very short chapters. It'll give you a very good background of what we're starting today and what we're going to start getting into next week. And then concerning next week, when we get into Walking in the Vision, book four, which is the evangelist and his acclamation, if you read chapters 56 to 62, that's when Brother Ram went to South Africa. It'll give you a very good background. And to any believer, it's good to get a revision. And in these books, they show you which messages Brother Owen Jorgensen got them from. I was privileged enough to meet Brother Jorgensen some years back when I was in Czech Republic at a meeting. He was taking one of the meetings as well, and we went out for lunch together, and he explained the whole process to us, myself and to Brother Greg, of how he wrote these books. Very nice brother and very powerful testimony, how God commissioned him to write the biography of Brother Branham in this age. And they're very good because they're a perfect introduction to the message. And then if you want to go deeper, at the end of each chapter, he shows you the messages, the dates, the paragraph numbers of where he got those things from. So if you want to go and get deeper into it, listen to more, it's a very wonderful way to start the message, is using these books. They're wonderful books. I've read them many times, listened to them many times, different chapters at different times. With our family, we listen to them on the way to church many times on Sundays and so forth. They're really, really good. To those people who don't fully understand the message or things like that, you can go all the way back to book one, right from the beginning. That's wonderful if you have the time. But concerning this study we started to get into, these are the chapters that will help you now to start getting into this. Because we wanted to have a look at the lessons, like you said, the lessons that we learn in the permissible and how vital they are for us to reach adoption. We need to learn these lessons. You need to glean the virtue, even when we stumble and we fall and we get out of his perfect will. Now, Satan wants to make those things into a stumbling block and make you feel, oh, I messed it up. That's okay. God doesn't mind us making mistakes as long as we learn from them, as long as we glean the virtue from those mistakes. That's all that he wants us to do. So instead of being stumbling blocks, these things can be stepping stones. And we'll see it with Brother Ram, stepping stones to the next stage in your spiritual experience. And where's God trying to get us to? He's trying to get us to the place where we more consistently walk in the perfect one, in the channel that he's called us to. That's what he's trying to get us to. That's all the things that are happening inside of your life, though you may not realize it, but every one of these things as a child of God, you're going through negative and positive, is God is trying to establish us, is God is trying to mature us. God is trying to rid us of our weaknesses. He's trying to get us into that place that you can walk more consistently in his perfect will. So he can be more glorified on a more consistent manner in our lives. Mm-hmm. That we don't just take a huff, you know, when things don't go our way. We don't go to church for a month. You know, so that we don't just, you know, get offended as I'm not playing music in church anymore because of, you know, the people didn't appreciate me. I'm not preaching again. People didn't say amen. You know, just our human nature. God has to take us through those things.
Yeah.
You know, we're not called to the Lord and we're the finished product on day one. No, it's like the statue of a perfect man. He's got to build us up and he's got to purge us. And the fruitful branch, he cuts off the unfruitful parts of it. If you have a vine that brings going to bring forth good fruit, you bring it forth good fruit, he's going to purge. He's going to cut off those parts that are unnecessary. And friends, I don't think that that vine, when you're pruning it with the pruning shears, it's saying amen very much. When you come with those big pruning shears, I remember my mom when she used to prune the roses in our garden and she'd put on those big thick plastic gloves and she'd come and chaka. I don't think that rose is saying, hey, this is the best day I've ever had since I was born. But that rose isn't very happy. But for that rose, when she used to put that black stuff on the end, you know, where she's just cut it so it wouldn't, you know, it would seal it off. She'd seal that so it wouldn't grow again and it wouldn't dry the plant out. And the next springtime, see how much more beautiful the roses are. Mm-hmm. See how much more the blossoms come forth on the fruitful branches. It was necessary. But sometimes you only understand it further down the way. So the things you're going to be looking at, I'm going to finish off with this here now, is these two things from the ministry of the prophet. Number one, these are the lessons. Number one, learning to operate the gift according to his divine will. Because gifts and anointings can be very deceptive. They can be very destructive. If you mishandle a gift, you can do more good, more evil than good. Yeah, we've seen it in the message. Look at all of these false anointed ones. You know, the people that rise up with gifts that anoint lead people astray. And we were in it in Zimbabwe and so forth. So God has to take us through this process, bringing us to the fullness of adoption to teach us how to operate whatever gift and calling he's given us consistently according to the divine will. So we need to find out what is his will? What is my calling? How does he want me to operate this gift? When? Yeah? And we'll see it in the life of the prophet, how he had to learn that lesson. Then number two, like we said, the big lesson, learning to walk consistently in the vision. His vision for your life, his perfect will for your life. He has to get us to the stage that we can walk more and more consistently in the vision. That we're not easily sidetracked, you know, pulled to the left or to the right, but we stay no matter what. Disappointments, destruction, storms, you know, Judas betrays you, Demas has forsaken me, but you stay consistently in the center of his will. For your life, walking in the vision, you're now becoming somebody who's getting deeper and deeper in the realm of your adoption. So we're going to leave it there, saints. We'll pick those up next week. I thought I'd leave it there just to give people a chance, especially the young ones, to go, you know, prepare themselves, read those kind of chapters, listen to them if you want. And may the Lord help us that we can pick up from there as we start again next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. As we read these things, Lord, every single one of us would plead guilty as charged. Father, as we look in the mirror of your word, Lord, sometimes even with good intent, good intentions, how many times we've walked out of your perfect will. How many times it's been our will. And Father, we haven't wanted to leave the comfort zone because that's our will. But at that time, Lord, you're trying to take us to the next level. You're trying to take us to the next place. Or, Father, sometimes we allow the wrong influence inside of our life. And Lord, whatever that it is, may you help us as we study these things, because our desire is that you would shine your light personally upon every one of our paths and every one of our souls to help us to be better equipped, Father, to know and recognize ourselves and know and recognize our enemy, to know and recognize our weapons in a more real way through these things. So may you bless our studies that are coming by your will and by your grace, and help us as we continue to fellowship this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, saints. Any questions, saints? Anything anybody would like to say? If you're on YouTube, if you want to send it on WhatsApp, I've got my WhatsApp running here, so I can always see it on WhatsApp. Anything at all, saints?
That was powerful, Pastor. Hey, I was just thinking, yeah, I wish it was a Sunday service. This was very, very deep. It was amazingly. Honestly, yeah. That was amazing.
Thanks, Brother George.
Thank you so much.
What's the main points, like you would say to you, brother, that struck home?
Not just those principles of trying to do God a service, you know,
yes,
out of the will of God. All of us are guilty of that one, you know. We think, yeah, we're going to do well. Ah, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. You can't bargain with God. God knows the perfect will for us in his life. So,
yeah.
Everything is just amazing, powerful.
Yeah, I think it comes down to our human will, our human temperament and the things like, you know, there's certain things which just are not the divine frequency in the way that we naturally are raised and the way that we're naturally born and things like that. So it's, you know, sometimes realizing that the Lord has to teach us some really, really big lessons. Sister Bruna, then, God bless you, sister. Says, how to know if it is the perfect will of God and not my imagination? Well, there's the two main ways that you'll know is, number one, like Brahm says, can you trace it? Is it scriptural, that principle? Can you find anything from Genesis to Revelation which is contrary? Because God is always going to, his perfect will is revealed, the principles of his will from the beginning of the Bible to the end. So is there anything contrary to the word in what you're thinking to do? You can find it. Sometimes you find it, many times you find people ask for counsel because maybe the wife is more spiritual than the husband. You know, so the wife now, she wants to take on more responsibility, or she wants to, you know, make decisions because she feels, the husband is not keeping pace. You know, he's not really shaping up. So I think I must do it. But although it might seem to press in on you and you might really feel anointed and inspired to do it, but it's contrary to the word, because the Bible says that the wife should be submissive to her husband. You know, so there's that aspect there. Is it according to the word? No, the one which I find is very helpful, sister, is God puts people around us because he loves us. He gives us our, David has his Jonathans, Jesus has his John. Every single one of us, we have these close people God has put in our lives who care for us. And they're going to tell us the truth, even if you don't like to hear it all the time. And it's good. That's the Urim and Thummim. You take your idea and you go and speak to those people that God has ordained for you to walk with and run it past them and see if it flashes in the Urim and Thummim. Because it might be so real to you. It might really be, this is absolutely God's will for me. And then you find all those people who love you and have helped you along the way. No, they're there. God has put them to walk with you in your hard times. You find it doesn't flash in them, and they'll be polite. They'll say, okay, yeah, it sounds interesting. But say, if I were you, I'd go and pray a little bit more. You know, sometimes you might have just the ones who just give it to you the way that it is. Yeah, they might just say, look, that's nonsense. What are you thinking about? That's not the will of God. So, you know, it doesn't flash through the word and doesn't flash in the body of Christ around the people that are around you. Then the final thing, if you want to find out if something is the perfect will of God, we said it the other week, go and search on YouTube and find that one of Brother Perry Green when he's explaining how the prophet told him to find the perfect will of God, how to find the perfect will of God. You'll find it on YouTube, find Perry Green, Perfect Will of God, something like that. And Brahman shows how the three lights, the lights have got to line up, you know, these different things. It's a masterpiece. If you go and have a look inside of there, it'll show you. But basically, I do believe if you've got a genuine heart and you really want to do the will of God and you're going astray, I mean, God is obligated in some way through the preaching of the word, through the fellowship of the saints, through your personal study of the word, whatever. God is really obligated because of his nature to show you that, look, be careful. This isn't my will. You know, so I think that's a good starting point. And the best thing is in prayer. You know, prayer is the real good starting point. To find the will of God is to really, really draw near to the Lord, be prayerful so that all the other voices become still. You know, the voice of your temperament, your imagination, the voice of your memory, your reasoning, and really come and lay yourself before the Lord. And then I do believe the Lord is more than willing to speak if we're willing to listen. I do. Thank you, Brother Faithful. Just put it on there. Thank you, Brother, for doing that. It's a very, very good, solid basis that he gives us there to follow. Wonderful principles. Brother Eli, God bless you, bro.
God bless you. It's me.
Oh, sister. God bless, sister.
Amen. I wanted to ask about the permissive will, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, if someone marry a wrong person, they have kids, what the fate of those kids who are born in permissive will?
Well, the prophet says, I mean, if you think about it, sister, is that every single one of us are born in the permissive will since Adam. When he sinned. So we're all born by sex. We're all born in sin, shapen, and iniquity. So every one of us is already born in the permissive will of God. But God, if you're his child, he still works it out. So in the end, we'll be back in his perfect will. We'll have bodies like unto his own body, bodies that never get sick, bodies that will never die. So God, through redemption, can redeem it. Now, if you really think about it, sister, there was a sister that was actually born an illegitimate birth. Mm. You'll find it in the message. You'll find it in the Only Believe magazine. I'll try to find the testimony if somebody wants it. But she was actually born out of wedlock. You know, she was born out of adultery. And she 100% believed she could never be saved. She could never be, you know, the elect, whatever that it was, because no, she found the scriptures in the Old Testament about how many generations that the children born out of wedlock were not allowed to go to the house of the Lord. And then Brother Bram came and he showed, he says, no, that's speaking of your first birth. He says, but Jesus, when he shed his blood, he came to redeem. And it's your new birth that puts you in the rapture, not your first birth. You see, and he went and he showed that there's another birth you can receive, and that birth can overcome anything of your first birth. You know, so even if somebody gets in a permissive will and they have children in a permissive will, God, you know, every child or every person, God has no grandchildren. Everyone has to come the same way. So they are just as entitled to the new birth as you and I. You know, so through the power of the new birth, the Lord can bring back into the perfect will anything that was in a permissive will. You know, it's a powerful, powerful principle. I think more your interesting question there, which needs a little bit more thought, is you marry the wrong person. You know, the prophet speaks about it in the permissive will. Brother actually says it'll be righted, made right up there. You know, now I don't understand exactly how that's going to be because he doesn't explain it, but everything works back to his perfect will in the end. You know, so I would say the big question more is to do with the other person that you married rather than your children. I think the children are fine. You know, the children, they got just as much chance to come in as anybody else. But I would say that your relationship, I don't know how far your relationship goes. It might make it to the grave or it might make it to the rapture, but I don't know how far beyond there that permissible relationship is going to go, because there's no permissive will in the kingdom of God. You know, beyond this mortal realm, everything is the perfect will of God. Yeah, the world will go back into perfection, our relationship, our bodies, everything will be back in perfection. So I would say that maybe is the one to be thinking about when you think of that guy with the six pack and he's, you know, he's got a six pack of cigarettes in his pocket as well, and you want to go and try to marry him. I think that's where the problem comes in. I don't know if I answered your question there, sister, but I think the children are fine, but your relationship, I think it's It's on borrowed time, you know?
Pastor,
Yeah.
I won't say, you never know who it was. During lockdown, they would stream with us a lot online. But the person married and he lost his wedding, like you said, it's on borrowed time. His
Yeah.
wedding lasted 21 days.
Yeah.
21 days. So you're taking a gamble.
That's right.
And he said to me, "Why did you tell me?" I said, "I'm not your pastor. I can't count. You should have spoken to your pastor."
Yeah,
You
it's
know,
true.
so it's a big risk you're taking.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that, you know. Yeah, I believe we can stray, we can go astray. And many times you look at it in courtship. Courtship doesn't always work out. No, because you would have thought the permissive will was the perfect will. And God is gracious. He says, before you take this beyond the point of no return, have courtship. Then get to know each other, pray about it. And as you're getting into courtship, if you're both children of God, you'll both realize this is not the perfect will of God. You know, this may have seemed to be the perfect will, but I think now that I've prayed more, now that I've got more in tune, now I've tuned myself into heavenly places, I realize this isn't the right person. And then you say, okay, look, let's be friends and let's go our ways. You know, so I think that's the key to the reason why there's a courtship, because you don't want to go too far. Proverbs says, that's why don't make vows to each other too quickly, vows that you're not going to be able to go back on. And don't be agreeing to marry and promising each other this and that because you're married by your vow. Be careful of those things until you're 100% sure. But when the blood is hot and the chemistry is high, you know, yeah, everybody else is warning and everyone else is wrong. Me, I'm right. This is the perfect person. They'll all see it in the end. It's very easy to say things you later regret. So be very careful what you say, especially in the realm of courtship, until you're 100% sure. And it comes back to Sister Bruna again there, is what is it flashing in the Urim and Thummim? If all your good, close spiritual friends around you and people that love you are concerned about that relationship, and you're not concerned, you should be concerned. Yeah, you should. You be saying, hey, let me pray a little bit more. Let me wait on the Lord a little bit more, because this isn't flashing in the Urim and Thummim, and why isn't it doing that? Brother Clayton, God bless, bro.
Shalom. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless, bro.
Thank you for the deep, nice Bible study. It
Amen.
was quite good. Right. My contribution is that there are sometimes, I think, when you go through some trials and it's actually in the perfect will of God. And I saw it in the book of Ruth
Amen.
when Naomi and Ali, the husband,
Elimelech.
Elimelech, went to Moab. They were running away from the famine. And the prophet comes back and says, they went out of the perfect will of God because they were not supposed to leave the land that God has given to them. Yes. So they were supposed to be in the land, and yet there was a famine. So they were supposed to go through that trial that was existing at that time. And
Leader the soul.
the prophet went on to say, others stayed behind and they went through the famine, but they went out of the will of God. So I kind of learned there that maybe sometimes people think they are out of the will of God, yet they are passing through a trial and it's actually in line with the perfect will of God.
Like I say, yes, but it's like even with Jonah. No, Jonah, when he went out of the will of God, got in the permissive will, he actually portrayed Christ. You know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, that Jesus said, a greater than Jonah. Now, he suffered in it, but God will make the permissive will always work back to his perfect will. And when they went now, like you're saying, Naomi and Elimelech, what ended up happening? They ended up bringing Ruth back with them, exactly. You know, so God worked it back to his perfect will, but there's always suffering in it. They buried Elimelech, they buried Mahlon, they buried Chilion. You know, all the men died and they left their graves in Moab. And when Naomi came back, she said, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. She said, call me Mara, which means bitterness. You know, so you'll see it works back to the glory of God, but yay. You know, there's a price to be paid. So it's not a place that you want to walk in if, yeah, you know, and God will never lead you into a permissible. You know, he's never going to do that. So it's a good point, bro. Anything more you want to say, bro?
That's what I just wanted to contribute. And concerning the question that Sister Vivi asked,
yeah,
I was going to come back to that one of Ruth to say, even though initially they were not in the perfect will of God when they went out,
yeah,
when they came back, then Ruth, they ended up having Obed, Jesse and David. So it actually worked out perfectly fine to the will of God in the end.
Absolutely. But
suffering that happened in the way. So you just answered the other part that I wanted to put.
Man, that's good. Thanks very much, bro. Somebody was saying, thanks, bro. Somebody just had mentioned about the fact that sometimes, especially as a sister, we can have a wife, you can have very strong ambitions and desires. You know, you might want to be a big career woman, or you may want to be successful, or you want to have a job or something like that, yet you've got children and something like that. That's a difficult one. You know, it can be a real temptation to somebody. And maybe your husband's telling you, no, it's okay. No, you don't do that. You know, stay as a mother to your children. The perfect will of God for a mother, according to the New Testament, is to be a chaste keeper of the home. That's what Peter said. Now, the perfect will of God is for a woman not to work. God never wanted a woman to work. Now, I know there's a lot of people say, ouch, to that one there. No, you've got to qualify that. Brother Ram comes and qualifies, says, unless your husband agrees and says, look, work for a season because, say, you want to get a mortgage, or work for a season because your husband's sick, whatever. Now, there's always extenuating circumstances. But as long as it's done under the headship of your husband, but it can never, ever be the perfect will of God for a woman, especially a woman with children, young children, to go and work. You know, it can't be. You know, God didn't want that from the beginning. Brahma says, when a woman, and it's hard to say, saints, because I know, oh boy, that's why I say, I'm glad I'm not in church today. Maybe I should just turn off my camera. But Brahma says, when a woman gets out of the kitchen, she gets out of the will of God. He's not meaning just a woman must always be in the kitchen, but he's saying a woman's place is at home. God designed her for that. That's going to be a perfect will. Her children are her church. You know, she ministers to the Lord by ministering to her husband. Now, these circumstances come up where you need to, you know, where like even us, we find a little like Gitana now, she's trying to get back into nursing. Children have grown up a bit. We don't have our own house. We don't have deposit. You know, so you've got situations where under the headship of your husband, you know, those things, your wife goes and works for a season. But for a woman just to want to go and work unnecessarily, where you don't need to work, the Brahman says, why would a woman want to go and work in one of those offices where they're telling all their dirty jokes and there's going to be so much temptation, which is not, God never designed her to stand up to those kind of things. He said, if I was a woman, I'd be glad to stay at home just to look after my children. But it is. And the person who spoke about this said a very good thing. They said, probably it's being tempted by something which the world calls being successful. You know? Yeah. So that's where that didn't come from the word, your inspiration for it. It didn't come from, you know, your prayer life, your morning watch, but it came because there's somebody else, your neighbor. You know, she goes out and she's dressed snappy in her pinstripe suit and she's got her fancy car and you don't. Yeah, and then somebody, if she can do it, why can't I? You see, we're looking at the wrong thing. We're getting inspiration from the wrong thing. And God may even be blessing a person and it then be out of the will of God. It's a permissive will. But when you're leaving your children at home for somebody else to look after them so that you can go and work as a woman, unless there's real circumstance that you've got to agree with your husband, you know, and God will say amen to that. He'll bless you for that. But it can never be the perfect will of God. There's always going to be pressure that comes in. So it was a very, very good point that somebody made. Brother Greg, God bless, brother.
God bless you, brother. Just want to say that, you know, when you were saying, I know from my wife's experience when you have 3 children, she was saying that she would like to, you know, go to work and stuff, right? She usually works with, you know, like whatever, girls, women, whatever that is, the boys, whatever, doesn't work there. But she would do just for sane mind people saying, you know, she would just go because when she's kind of with the children and you just changing diapers and doing homeworks 7 days in a week and husband is resting at work, at office, doing nothing, you know, just having a laugh, you know, whatever. So she would just kind of sometimes, I'm not saying it's right, but sometimes, you know, when I for example, me, I told my wife that she don't have to work. And I told her, look, I'm happy, but I can see she, to be honest, she can't wait almost, in a way of just go and just have kind of her time, even though she's going to work, whatever, earn some money, whatever, but just something for her. When you were saying, I know everything is balanced, so don't take me on, but that's just something. That's something just what I was thinking, and I just was going to say as well, those Bible studies as well, they are, it's interesting, right? Because it's so many people, I'm guessing 24, 26, maybe 30 people sometimes. So they will just say, oh, wow, he's speaking about me. So I'm pretty sure it's around 30 people here that will just say, all right. So I just, the reason I'm saying it's in a way of a good way, because you would might be talking about nobody and everybody, if that makes sense, but everybody will just, they are so bright and wide, if that makes sense, that will, somebody will hitch the home. It's like, all right, yeah, that's me. Oh, yeah, that's me. And then somebody still with very faithful will say, oh, wow, how did he know that one? You know, something like that, you know? So I think it's, I just appreciate it. That's it, what I was going to say, because it's very rich, very rich. And somebody could just take something out of that 1.5 hour, up to 2 hours, whatever that is. Amen. So thank you, Pastor, very much. That's what's going
on. And Brother Greg, on your point there about your wife is that, you know, you've agreed on that. The motive and objective is right. It's not like she's saying, I've got my career, you look after those children, what many women in the world do, and your children are suffering because of that. That's where now it becomes sinful in the eyes of God. When a woman pursues a career at the expense of her calling, of what she's really born into this world to do, to be a real mother. Go and read what Brother says about real motherhood, about it being the fifth gospel, and where would we be without genuine godly mothers, and why are these renegades out on the street because, you know, the mummy's out running around when she should be at home teaching her children the Bible and so forth. That first line of defense for in the kingdom of God is motherhood around children, a godly mother. I mean, think, he gives the example, he says, go and have a look at Moses and his mom, at Joshebed. He said, look what that influence of a mother, what it did in that Egypt situation. He says, then go and compare it now with Herodias and Salome and all those kids, the one who wanted John the Baptist's head. Go and see. He said, that mother was someone who wouldn't look after children. She's out tap dancing, and that's why her daughter became a renegade as well. So, you know, motherhood is such an important thing. And if a mother is willing to put motherhood number one, and then it gets to the stage, like you say, that the mom now, she's going to crack up if she's every day, all the time at home. And you said, no, it's okay. Go and work for these hours of the week. I'll take over. I like to be with the children. She's doing it under your headship. That's wonderful. She's not pushing her will. She's not pushing. Just, I don't care what you say. You know, I'm going to do it. Now you're getting yourself in trouble. Now God can never bless that. But when it's done under headship, like I'm saying. But the problem is now, it's like in anything, like as a minister, as a brother, as a sister, as a husband, a wife, is when our will becomes too strong. You know, your husband will be telling you, no, that doesn't suit things now. Wait. But your heart's desire, so I want to do it. I want to do it. And you keep pressing until it's like, okay, go and do it. You see, now you're getting in a permissive world. Now it's going to be temptation. It's going to be problems in the home, problems in your spiritual life. Because God can never fully bless someone in a permissive will. When you're not fully under the blood, not fully under the word, how is he going to bless you? Mm. You know, so yes, that's why I'm saying this one, especially in Ireland, our situation in Ireland, it's almost impossible for anyone to buy a house unless the wife goes to work at some stage. Yeah, and God knew that when he sent us to Ireland. So, you know, as long as it's done the right way, and it's like I said, it's done under the correct headship, you agree in it together, the boundaries and parameters don't affect the children, don't affect their development and their relationship with their parents, you find the right balance and you'll find that God will navigate you through it. Absolutely. Thanks, brother. It was a very good point.
Amen, brother. Thanks very much. You see, don't mind my wife. I can't wait when she go to work for me to spend time with the children. So don't mind my wife, you know. That's my favorite time, you know.
I'd like to see what the children have to say. Yeah?
Don't mind my wife go.
I mean, to go to work, or do they want daddy to go to work? Yeah?
They would just say sometimes daddy is aggressive, but let's cut that out, you know.
Yeah, why did you cut the mic there, bro? God bless, brother. Thanks for that, brother. Anybody else before we finish their sins? Anybody else? I'll just check on WhatsApp to see if anybody else asked. Nope. All is well. Okay. Brother Greg, would you pray for us, Brother Greg, then please pray if you're still there, unless you've gone to do something. Okay, I think he's gone to do something. Brother Faithful, are you there, bro? Would you mind praying for us, please, Brother Faithful, if you're able?
Yeah, let us pray.
Okay.
Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you because we are so grateful, Lord, that you can speak to us, Lord, in this way, in a way that we can understand, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts, oh God, are beating, oh God, are yearning for more of you, Father, Lord Jesus, that we will just work in your perfect way, Father. And Lord, Father, as we look at the word, Lord, and we look at the mirror of the word, and we examine our lives, Lord, we can even see that there are some times when you've warned us, Lord, oh God, and say, don't go there, oh God, don't do this, or don't take that path, don't take that job, don't take that opportunity. But Lord, we just went in our own way, Lord. Oh Father, Lord, we come to you to say, Lord, that we are sorry, Lord. Father, we humble our hearts to you, Lord, to say, Father, that you reconnect us back to your perfect will in any way we've gone wrong, Lord. Father, is it knowingly, Lord, or unknowingly, Lord? Father, is it, oh God, consciously or unconsciously? In any way, Lord, we've gone out of your will, your perfect will. We pray, oh Lord, that you will realign us. If there be anyone at the valley of decision, oh God, at that point, oh God, where they are in the valley of decision, oh God, and they are thinking about taking a permissive will, oh God, may this sermon be that sermon, Lord God, where they would, oh God, have a U-turn. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, like I remember Paul was on his way to Damascus, oh God, on this permissive will, oh God, to go and afflict the children of God. And he was going, oh God, Father, Lord, and you stopped him, oh God, on his way. And you turned him, oh God, into your perfect will. And he ended up, oh God, writing, oh God, different scriptures, oh God, in the New Testament, oh God, and becoming, oh God, the first messenger to the Gentile church age, oh God. And that's our prayer tonight, Lord. Father, Lord Jesus Christ, if we are on this Damascus journey, oh God, into our permissive will, oh God, may you redirect us, oh God, into your perfect will this night, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Bless the servant, Lord, that you've used, oh God, to minister to us this night, Lord. Father, we know that it takes a lot of waiting on you, a lot of study, a lot of praying, a lot of dying out, oh God, to bring this word so fresh and so real, Lord. May you bless him, Lord. May you replenish, oh God, the virtues, Lord, in his heart, Lord. Father, may it be, oh God, another great time when we come here. If there be a next week, Lord God, Father, may you take it a step higher, Lord. A step, oh God, higher and closer, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. May you bless our night, our rest, oh God. Tomorrow morning and our morning watch, oh God. May you also bless it, oh God. May it be a great week, oh God. May it be a
Amen.
great one, oh God. We thank you, Father, for you've done all these things according to your will. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you, bro. God bless you richly.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless each and every saints. Meet you on Friday. Meet you down the way. Anybody else, may the Lord richly bless
God
you.
bless you.
God bless you.
God bless saints. God bless. God bless.
Bless
Bye
you.
bye.
Bless. God
See
bless.
you.
God bless.